chronological order, but I wanted to emphasize giving or learning how or knowing the importance of giving to build honor in your life. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We're going to read some scriptures about Cornelius and how Cornelius, through his arms or his giving and his prayer, how that produced honor. And it caused God to come and intervene and to actually have Peter come and minister to not only to him, but basically salvation and the Holy Spirit got put upon the Gentiles because of one man's seed and his prayer. In Acts chapter 10, verse 1, it says, there was a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. He was a devout man and one that feared God with his whole house. So he had a fear for God, which gave alms to the people and prayed to God always. So he was giving and he was also praying. He said that he saw in a vision eventually about the ninth hour of the day an angel of the Lord coming unto him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And I'm not going to go into the vision so much, but because of Cornelius's prayers and his giving, it was a combination. You know, the Bible says that your gift will make room for you and put you before great men. So here, Cornelius praying for the Italian band, praying, and this is going to jump right off into wisdom, because we all also pray for wisdom. Cornelius couldn't have been just praying for himself. So he was praying for his people, for his family, and really he was praying for wisdom, and he needed, number one, to be saved. He needed to be to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God, through divine intervention, had a dream. Peter also had a dream, and by doing so, they were united in the Spirit, where now Peter is able to minister salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not only to Cornelius, but his whole household. And now the Gentiles, who weren't the chosen people, now are able to come into the fullness of God because of giving. So that brought honor. And the Bible says that it was brought up as a memorial before him. And that's something, a memorial is something to always be remembered. So Cornelius's arms, or his giving, his sowing, and his arm, and his prayer brought honor to him, and not only to him, but to a whole generation of people. A whole, because up to that time, you know, the Jews were the ones, they ministered to those, but now the Gentiles are coming into the glorious salvation, and that brought honor to Cornelius. So one of the key ways that you can bring honor to yourself is through sowing seed, giving. You know, your seed will. I remember in the earlier years when Apostle was following Dr. Hagin, I remember those times when they had what they call Rhema Day, and all the ministries were sowing and pledging seeds into Rhema Day. And you know, some of the bigger churches, you know, 20,000, you know, 15,000. And then all of a sudden, at that time, you know, it was Pastor, who was, you know, Dr. Thompson. I remember him saying, 20,000, Word of Life Christian Center. We had maybe 400 members. And it just astounded me. And I said, wow, you know. But I believe in my heart that the seeds that were sown in those early years helped propel the ministry to where it is. Because there's a scripture that I want to make sure I want to point out to you. Hebrews 7:7. Hebrews 7:7. It says, I'm going to go ahead and read it. You can turn there, but you're going to need to know the scripture. It says, without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. In other words, without all contradiction, that's known as upward giving. You're sowing into the anointing. When you sow your seed, you're sowing into the anointing. So you being the less or the one that needs the blessing, you're sowing upward so that the blessing now as on the man of God's life that you're sowing into could come down upon you. That's so very important. You know, you're sowing up. And that's, like I said, that's called upward giving. This scripture refers to upward giving, sowing up so that the blessings of God can come down. Sowing into someone's life, or you're sowing into good anointed Saul. That's going to bring honor to you. When you sow into good anointed Saul or fertile Saul, when a farmer plants a seed, he wants to make sure that the seed that he puts in the ground goes into fertile soil. If you plant a seed into callous, unnurtured soil, the ground hadn't been fertilized or hadn't been tilled, it's rocky and a bunch of weeds in there, that seed may not come up. But when you sow seeds into anointed soil, you're bringing honor to yourself because that seed will produce a harvest. Amen? All right, so the first way of producing honor in your life is sowing seed. Okay, we're going to go now back to the book talks about praying for the spirit of wisdom in order to produce honor in your life. All right, Proverbs 3:13-16 says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that may desire cannot be compared to her. For a length of days are in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor." Praying for wisdom will produce honor. Because when you're praying for wisdom, you're asking God for divine instruction. One of the key examples about that is Solomon. The Lord told Solomon, what can I do for you? And then Solomon said, he says, "I'm but a man. I don't know how to go in. I don't know how to come out. You've blessed me. You've blessed my father, first of all, and you made me king over all these people." He says, "I pray that, Lord, give me an understanding heart." And you see, all through Proverbs, when you see the word wisdom, like this, it says, "He that get wisdom, but also get what? Understanding." So when you get wisdom, you're going to get understanding. Because now revelation knowledge, revealed knowledge from God, begins to enlighten your soul. And so when you pray for wisdom, you're praying for understanding, just like Solomon did. And because he didn't pray for himself, he was praying for others and praying for the people that God had placed him over. God says, "I'm going to give you what you requested, but also, Solomon, I'm going to bless you with riches and honor. I'm going to bless you with the material things because you're not being selfish about it. You want to pray that you get the wisdom you need to be the proper leader that you need to be." Getting back to the scripture in Proverbs, it says, "Length of days are in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor." Riches and honor will always follow wisdom. God will give you divine wisdom and strategies and ways of doing things that will bring you into honor. And when you walk into honor, there's always going to be riches there. So one of the key ways of developing honor in your life is praying and ask God for wisdom. We need wisdom in everything, in every area of our life. Wisdom on, Lord, what job to take. Wisdom on, Lord God, lead me to my perfect mate, or lead that person to me. That's wisdom. I'll never forget when I was in college, and I wasn't necessarily seeking God for a mate, but just for companionship. Because one relationship that I was in just didn't work out, and just things wasn't clicking like I knew they should have. And I said, "Lord," I said, "I just thank you that, that you bring that perfect person my way." And then the Lord shared a scripture with me. He said, He said, don't seek for a mate. He said, seek me. He said, what was the scripture he put in my heart? He said, he that had the Son had life. He said, to begin to develop the life of God that's already on the inside of you. You know, begin to just develop and spend time with me. You know, he said, because, you see, and this was the wisdom involved in that. He said, because what's going to happen is that light and that illumination that's on the inside of you is going to attract the right person. And that's exactly what it did. You know, unbeknown to me, my wife, at the time, she was in Dallas co-oping, and she was sitting under ministry where she was being groomed, and God was preparing her, had no idea. And then when she comes back to school the next semester, we were teaching Bible study, and the life and the anointing that was on her life just radiated out. And I connected to it immediately, you know, because all of a sudden now it was, you know, now it wasn't about so much of the physical attraction as it was of a kindred spirit, you know. And so not to belabor that point, but when you pray for wisdom, God will bless you with so much more, so much more. Believe me, I'm just telling you what I know. He will bless you with so much more. Amen. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5, I may not read them all, but it talks about wisdom here. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation or diverse testings and trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Then it says in verse 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unabraded not, but let him ask in faith. So, you know, it's imperative that we ask for wisdom. It's important that we ask for wisdom. Wisdom will actually bring us into honor when God gives us honor. The author says that John the Baptist and Jesus grew in different ways, but Jesus grew in wisdom and grace. You know, the Bible talks about, and I think it's somewhere in the book of John, how Jesus grew in stature, but he grew in wisdom. You know, we need wisdom in every area of our life. And you know, one of the things I always pray, Lord, I thank you that my steps are ordered by you, that I don't take a misstep, but that every step I take is ordered by you, and that you delight in my way. And the Lord will let you know when you're going off course, you know, that it, but it takes wisdom. It takes the wisdom of God for God to reveal that to you. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. You know, that's what Solomon asked for. Lord, give me an understanding heart. He was asking for wisdom. Exalt her and she shall promote thee. Wisdom will promote you. When you begin to walk in wisdom, promotion comes, you know, because promotion, riches, and honor, wisdom is far greater than a promotion. It's far greater than the silver, the rubies, because wisdom is really the heart of God. Is the who God is. It's because God is wisdom. God is love. God is light, but when you begin to get into him, you begin to the unsearchable riches, the unsearchable all that the awesomeness of God begins to be revealed unto you, and by doing so, you are obtaining wisdom. It is absolutely necessary and vital, and literally on a daily basis, we need to pray for wisdom. Whether in ministry, in business, as church leaders, if you own your own business, you know, on a job, you know, wisdom will see you to the point where you'll never, you'll avoid any and every pitfall. A lot of times, people make decisions because of logic. They say, well, it doesn't make any sense logically. Let's do this. But sometimes, wisdom is not going to make any sense. Sometimes it's going to go against the grain, you know. But see, that's where being led by the Spirit and knowing how to allow your steps to be ordered by God. Lord, even though it don't make any sense to me, Lord, but I know that you're leading me in this direction, you know, and so wisdom is paramount. All right, so let's move on now. I guess this would be number three. The next major attribute in building honor is walking in humility. Walking in humility. It says in Proverbs 15 and 33, the fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Let me read that again. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. So here again, it's talking about wisdom. It's talking about instruction. The fear of the Lord, the reverential fear of the Lord, is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. Humility, in its simplest definition, is number one, fearing God and just walking humbly before Him and walking in obedience to His word. When you walk in obedience, in humble obedience to Lord, Jesus was the greatest example of humility. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying, you know, Lord, if there's any other way, you know, that this cup could pass, you know. But if there's no other way, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. When you begin to say, Lord, allow your will to be done in my life, you are humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. So now the Bible calls Jesus the potter, and we're the clay. And so now you're allowing him to mold and to shape you into a vessel of honor and glory. You know, that's so very important, because it's not what you want to do, but is he what you see, one thing I came to the grips with, and once I came to grip with this, it was easy to submit to God. You know, God has already predestinated or predetermined what path he wants for us to take. But all we got to do now is pray for wisdom and ask God to give us the pathway. Lord, show us the ministry. First of all, Lord, where do you want me at, Lord God? Well, who do you want me to submit to? You know, and then once you find that, then you submit to that vision, you know. And then God now is able to, but you see, all of this is humility. All of this, you humbly submit to God. You submit to his will, submit to his way. You know, that's so very important. Humility, this is what humility is. This is a definition you're going to need to know. Humility is the sum total capacity. And I think the author may say spirit, but the Lord spoke to my heart and said, no, it's you see, because your spirit is already in tune with God. But your soul is the one that's got to get in line. The apostle was talking about that today. So humility is the sum total capacity of a person's soul to submit totally to the power of God. Submitting your soul, your gifting, your talent, and your anointing totally to God. So when you walk in humility, you're submitting the sum total of a person's soul. You know, because, see, your soul consists of your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect, your reasoning faculties. And a lot of times, when there's an element of self in there, the soul or the mind want to go a different route, you know, a different avenue, you know. But God is calling you for his service or to serve in a particular capacity. Well, you see, but when you submit your soul, you know, your spirit man already want to serve God. Your spirit man, once you get born again, your spirit man is alive unto God. Your spirit man, you know, when I first got saved, I remember hearing the voice of God so clearly. It was like, wow, you know, where have I been all my life, you know? But then after a while, if you don't continue in the word and continue in prayer, all of a sudden your self-will start to get involved. And if you're not careful, you're gonna God had a pathway prepared for you. You got saved and you started to walk in it. And then you know, I remember there was a song that says, Lord, inside my room I see the people dying, I see them crying. Lord, so many lives that need to be touched, you know, but yet, Lord, you know, I have my dreams and my vision, you know, that I want to do. But Lord, but if you say go, I'll never ask to stay. In other words, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. That's a song from years ago, back in the early 80s. But anyway, it's an act of your will to walk in humility, to serve God, and to do his will. You know, so it's the sum total of a person's capacity to submit totally to the power of God, submitting your soul, your gifting, you know, your talent, and your anointing to God. Amen. Let's move on. When you're walking in humility, you're walking, walking in humility is when God actually owned you. But he owned you because you gave yourself to him. You know, you willfully gave yourself to him. So God is actually now in complete control. One of the things, I didn't pray it this time, but most times when I come up here, I say, Lord, if you don't show, Holy Spirit, if you don't show up, I'll fall flat on my face. And so what I'm doing, I'm yielding myself. It's because it's not in my ability, you know, but it's in his ability. And the more you recognize or acknowledge your weakness, and so, you know, because it's when you recognize, Lord, I can't do this on my own, that's when now, because of your humility and submission to God, now he's able to step in, and you say, I don't know where that came from. You know, well, that must be God, because I didn't think of that, you know. But now he's using you. You become a mouthpiece. You become his hands. You become his mouth, because you're just allowing him to use you as a vessel of honor and glory. Let's move on, because my time is definitely moving. Okay, let's move on to the next one. The next area that I help you to build honor is when you walk in the spirit of integrity and being upright in conduct. We want to walk in the spirit of integrity and walk in uprightness of conduct. In other words, our moral behavior must be impeccable. Integrity means the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. Walking in the spirit of integrity and being upright in conduct, you know, you're honest, you're fair, you walk in a spirit of incorruptibility, having soundness, and having good character. Submission, now when, one of the things about submission when we were talking about humility that I didn't point out, but submission in humility is actually the breeding ground for the supernatural. When you submit to God, that's a breeding ground, because what it is now is giving way to the supernatural, because the supernatural is not going to manifest itself when you showing up. But when you die to your selfish ambition and your desire, and you allow God now to take over because of your submission, it's gonna incubate the supernatural to take place. That's so very important. In the area of being in integrity, integrity has a lot to do with your character. You know, God wants us to live, and the only way you can do it to live upright and integrity and in righteousness is recognizing that, you know, that my righteousness is, according to the scriptures, is filthy rags. But when I got saved, I became the righteousness of God in Christ. So now I'm in right standing with God because of what Jesus did, not because of anything that I did. And so you're walking around clean, and it's a cleanliness because of Christ's love for us. The scripture says here in Proverbs 26 and 1, it says, as the snow in summer, as the rain in harvest, so honor is not seemingly for a fool. In other words, foolishness and honor don't go together. Now, a person who's foolish, they're definitely not walking in integrity. They're definitely not walking in uprightness of heart, you know. And it shouldn't be snowing in summer. And when it's time to harvest when you're harvesting, you know, whatever, corn or whatever, you don't want it to be raining. You know, it says, so honor is not seemingly for a fool. So people who walk in foolishness, who walk in looseness, lasciviousness, who walk in and just have no integrity about themselves, that they will not. Well, as the scripture says, they're not going to walk. They can't walk in honor, because it's contrary to it. The two of them are diametrically opposed to one another. Foolishness and honor don't go together. The word foolishness there has to do with one's inability to walk in integrity. In other words, wise individuals know how to conduct themselves. As Christians, we should know how to conduct ourselves. And when you walk in integrity, God knows He can trust you. He can trust you with His word. He can trust you with an assignment. You know, your man of God needs to be able to trust you with an assignment, and know that you're gonna do exactly what you're told, because you're a person of character and a person of integrity. Amen. All right. The next area, or the next major key of walking or building honor, is serving to produce honor, by serving. Proverbs 27 and 17 says, "Iron sharpening iron, so a man sharpen the countenance of his friends. Whosoever keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waited on his master shall be honored." That's Proverbs 27 and 17. Whosoever keepeth the fig tree and eat the fruit thereof, so he that waited on his master shall be honored. That word wait, you know, the scripture in Isaiah 40, it talks about they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It doesn't mean just stand there waiting. The word wait means to serve. You know, as you serve, you know, your service, you know, when you go to a restaurant, especially a good restaurant, and you get a good waiter, they're going to wait on you. My wife and I, we were eating at a restaurant today. When your glass gets half empty, the waiter comes and they top it off for you, you know. And, you know, when you finish a dish, they'll come and they'll take it, and they'll keep the area you clean, pick up anything that's on the table. That's serving. You see, we need to know how to serve our men and women of God. Because service will produce honor. Because when you serve properly, you're doing it, and you're doing it as unto the Lord. And whatever you do unto God, God is going to reward you for it. You know, God will never forget your labor of love. So never think, and you see a lot of times too, people want to serve. Now get this, but they want to serve in public where everybody can see them. You know, they want to be seen, you know, but it's a lot of times it's the service you do that nobody never know about. The things you do behind the scenes, you know. I remember God shared with me years ago. He says, "Son, I'm going to use you in the background." He says, "You're not going to have a big, you know, a big pulpit ministry, but I'm going to use you in areas where you're going to serve." And he began to talk to me about supportive ministries, undergirding a man of God, and doing things. And then we're going to talk about this, if I have enough time, about protecting the leadership and about just being in the position. It's so very important, because if you're out of position, you're out of alignment. And when you're out of alignment, you can't serve properly. So it's so very important that we serve properly. You know, just like Elijah served Elisha, you know, just like Joshua, you know, served Moses, you know, because see, that's how mantles are passed on. One of the things by your service, by, you know, the situation with Elijah. After Elijah was off the scene, they needed a man of God to come and give a word. And one person says, "I know a man that poured water on Elijah's hands." You know, in other words, he spent time when he was close by. He observed him, you know. And so just by the closeness and the connection, they knew that Elijah must have gotten something, because he was close enough to Elijah to pour water, in other words, to serve him, to make sure that he was comfortable, to carry books or whatever, you know, whatever it took, you know, to make sure that he was properly fed. You know, it's whatever the man of God needs. When you walk in service to your man or your woman of God, you produce honor. You know, Elijah, the younger prophet, did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. He received the mantle, whereas the other prophets who were in the background didn't receive anything. They had to actually bow down to him because they recognized that the spirit of Elijah was on Elijah because of his service. Amen. Amen? All right, we'll move on. Enough on that. But I have a comment that I want to point out here because I know we have a lot of LTMA members in here and even online. It talks about iron sharpening iron. In other words, compatible metals, they attract each other and they should complement each other. You know, when you want to sharpen a knife, you sharpen it with something that's going to be compatible and that's going to rub. It's not going to be abrasive, but it's going to cause a sharp edge. There's no friction to the point of causing conflict. Okay, like in LTMA, there's no competitiveness. There shouldn't be no friction that's going to cause conflict. But iron will sharpen iron. In any ministry, in anything that's moving for God, it should complement and sharpen each other. You know, and that's why it's so important to be mindful who you hang with. You know, I don't fellowship just with anybody. You know, because when you're around other people of like precious faith, that will sharpen you as you sharpen them. Amen? Amen. But you know, getting back to service is paramount. It's so very important that we serve properly. Amen. The next area of building honor is walking in obedience and submission. Walking in obedience and submission. You know, Sarah obeyed Abraham, you know, calling him Lord. But at the same time, the Bible says, husbands, submit to your wives. You know, just as Jesus submitted to the church. You know, submission and obedience. A person can be obedient. You know, a little kid, you can tell him to do something, you can whip him, and then he say, yeah, I'm obedient. I'm going to do it, Daddy. I'm going to do it, Mama. But sometimes they could be standing, you know, saying I'm obedient, but in their heart they're really sitting down. You know, they're doing it because they have to. You know, I'm being obedient, but I'm not really willing. You know, I mean, I'm not totally submitted. You know, give you an example. In 1 Samuel 1 and 15, with Saul, the prophet Samuel told Saul to utterly kill the Amalekites, you know, spare nothing, you know, kill the king, kill the animals, kill the people, you know, he said to utterly kill. Well, he didn't do that. He spared King Agrippa and he spared the best of the sheep and the grove because he wanted to do a sacrifice, you know, and the scripture says obedience is better than sacrifice, you know, but here's the kicker. You have sacrifice and you have obedience, but then you have submission. You know, watch very closely here. Obedience is better than sacrifice, but submission is better than obedience because even in obedience, there's still an element of self-will in obedience. You know, like I'm doing it, but you know, I'm standing up, but you know, but really I'm not with you 100%. And that's where you know total submission is. When you walk in submission, you walk in total. That word sub means under. You fall submission. You fall under the mission of somebody else, and you become total. In other words, you have no hidden agendas. The only agenda I have is Word Life Christian agenda. You know, I'm not out here to establish my ministry. My ministry is to submit to my man of God. You know, and serve Him. And to walk in obedience to Him, and to walk in humility towards Him. That's, you know, and but see, that brings you honor. Amen? You know, because it's all about undergirding the anointing. It's all about serving properly, you know, walking in total submission. Let me move on because I only got 4 minutes and I still got a few more to go. The next area is observing protocols of the law. The apostle shares some things about the military, talked about the Marines, the Army, and the Navy, and how in the military, people honor ranks. Well, to build honor in your life, you need to honor those who are in delegated authority, those people who are in the fivefold ministry. Well, first of all, you honor the apostle, you honor the prophet, you know, and then the fivefold ministry gifts. That's so very important because, as I stated before, we're all not equal. And when you honor, you know, ranks, you're giving honor to whom honor is due, you know. And when you show honor, you receive honor. Amen? All right. We're going to leave it at that because my time's running out. You observe protocol when you honor the gift or the gifts in men that God has placed in the body of Christ. This is giving honor to whom honor is due. Honor the gifts that God has placed in the body of Christ. That's giving honor to whom honor is due. Also, too, protecting leadership. You know, protecting your leader is so very important. That's another aspect of producing honor. And we kind of talked about that earlier. I'm not going to get into it a whole lot. But not only just protecting the leader, and what I mean by that is, give you an example. I'm going to run out of time because this example is going to take a few minutes. But a lot of times I'm asked to go and to represent the apostle at a funeral, you know. And I've known and I've seen in the past that when he goes into religious circles, you know, because of the anointing and because of what God is doing, people have a tendency to want to snap at it, you know. And so, you know, he'll get, you know, somebody else from the ministry, look, I go and represent me, you know. And so he doesn't have to rub shoulders with people that don't, you know, that's going to criticize him. So, you know, no different than the jet being a form of protection. So now he's not all crunched up in a seat, you know, have to wait and have to be frisked before he can get on the plane. You know, it keeps the anointing fresh. Well, as members in the church, we need to, you know, protect our leader in ways, you know, by making sure that nothing vexes him, so that he can hear from God without any hindrances. You know, so protecting your leader is a way, you know, the Bible talks, and I'm going to give you some scriptures, and it's also in your book, in Esther 6, chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, about how Malachi spoiled a plot to kill the king. There was a plot by two of the king's right-hand men that tried to come against the king. Well, Mordecai spoiled that. He intercepted that, and the king says, was any honor given to him? They said, no, anything. The king said, we need to honor him. You know, when you protect your leader, it'll produce honor in your life. Go back and read that. You know, I got 33 seconds, so I'm not gonna go any further. But all of these aspects that we just read and talked about are ways of protecting, or not only protecting, but building honor in your life. When you start to nurture those things, you know, service, walking in humility, giving, you know, You're building honor in your life, you know. All of these things help you to build honor, so because when you sow honor, you're gonna receive honor. Amen. All right, I got 6 seconds, and that'll do it. See you guys next week. Amen.